Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day. And I thank you for these ones that have preached and that have ministered to us in music and have ministered to our physical needs. And I thank you so much. Most of all, for Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we would still be lost and undone. No hope of any salvation. And so we just pause to say thank you. And as our heart was tender before you, back when you first saved us, Lord, keep our heart tender. Now, we would ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That is the title of my message this morning, Keeping Your Heart Tender Before God. Your heart, of course, we would be describing it as the seat of the emotions. We would be talking about the inner man. And here, by definition and by direct revelation of God, out of it are the issues of life. Out of our hearts flow what we're thinking. Out of our hearts flow through our lips. And it says here after this, keep your heart, and then verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. Verse 25, let your eyes look right on. Verse 26 and 7, keep your feet going in the right direction. And it all flows out of the heart. It's all what's in the heart being demonstrated, what's in the heart and being demonstrated in our lives. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep it pure. Guard what we take in. Keep it singly focused upon God. Keep it saturated with the Word of God. But there's something in this that I think we overlook. Keeping our heart tender before God. I want you today, with the help of the Lord Himself, to give to you a principle that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room can put to practice about keeping a heart tender before God, and in doing so, it'll transform your life. I believe it will. Many, many times in the Old Testament, God, and many times God through Moses, said, "You people are stiff-necked people. I tell you to do this, and you do that. I tell you to go this way, and you go that way. I tell you this, and you do that," over and over and over. They had hard hearts. They were stiff-necked people. They should have been tender-hearted people. They had been delivered from Egypt. They had gone through the Red Sea. They had seen Pharaoh's armies drowned. They've been provided for every day of the week. And still yet their hearts did not remain tender before God. It's a dangerous place to be. I want to show you a couple of illustrations. Look in Job 23. And my wife heard me say this. I don't remember. I think maybe it was Brother Keener got into Job. And I said it loud, and I didn't know it came out my lips, but I said it loud, and I said, "Watch it, get out of there." And my wife heard me. I didn't realize it came out quite that loud, Brother Keener. But then he called chapter 38, I think, and so we're safe, we're okay. Job 23, verse 8. Job, in the midst of his valley, says this, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. I have kept his way have I kept, and not declined. neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Job going through everything that Job went through, and Job having all of the questions that I believe it was Brother Keener reminded us that Job had. Job not knowing any of the answers to any of his questions at this time. Job not hearing anything from God at all. Still knew that he was God. And his presence, Job says, doth trouble me. The problem with most of us today is we do not spend enough time in God's presence to be troubled at all. We don't spend enough time in the Lord's churches. We don't spend enough time in the Lord's Word. We don't spend enough time in the prayer closet alone with Him. So we're not troubled much at all. Job says, I don't know where he is. I've looked that way and I can't find him. I've looked over here and I can't see him. I've looked over here and he doesn't seem to be there either. I've looked back here. I can't figure out where he is. But I know he's there. And his presence doth trouble me. God help us to keep a tender heart. Job is going through the valley of a lifetime. Valleys like you and I've probably never seen. And his heart was tender before God. His heart was soft before God. Look at 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22. The starting point, you see, in this Christian walk of ours, I believe the starting point is, I mean, as human responsibility goes, I'm not talking about how to be saved, but as the starting point of our Christian walk in learning how to walk in the grace and knowledge of God is to keep our heart tender before Him. Because we can go to all the preaching, we can go to all the Bible studies, and if our heart is not tender, it doesn't affect us. We just have the ability to tune it off. We've got some men in our church, got some ladies in our church that have hearing aids. And I don't accuse them of doing it in the services, but I got a feeling sometimes, you know? Not in the services, for some of them even go to extra measures and we've provided for them electronic helps that they can hear the message. But it's as if sometimes people have the ability to sit in the pew and just turn it off. The heart is not soft before God if you can ignore the preaching of the Word of God. And you're not going to grow until the preaching of the Word of God affects your life. And you're not going to grow unless in your own personal life you not only read the book, but you are affected by the book. And to be affected by either the preaching or the reading, we have to have a tender heart. We have to care enough to say, whatever you said, Lord, I'll do. Amen. Look at here, 2 Kings 22. And for sake of time, we'll just read the first two verses here. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah. Now, and we go on and look at verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now there is an excellent testimony here with Josiah. He was only this 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years, but look what he did. Look how he reigned. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways without veering. Now, I want you to go down to verse 16 with me. Verse 16. And give you a little context here. They were doing some remodeling, and in chapter 22, verses 8 through 10, the Word of God was found. They found it. Literally found it. Look what we found. Here it is, the Word of God. Imagine that. What does this have to say? And they began to read it to Josiah. And that's chapter 22, verses 8 through 10, and verses 11 through 13. Josiah was concerned about being obedient. He wanted the word read. He was concerned about following it. And in verse 16, the Lord begins to speak. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me. Now they'd been, as we might say, backslidden. They had been not following the Lord properly. And because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender. All right, now let's go. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardst what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Because his heart was tender before God. He already had a good testimony. He already it was recorded of him that he walked in the ways of David his father. And here, I believe, is the secret. His heart was tender before God. And he didn't even realize necessarily all that was involved with this walk. And then they found the Word of God. That's sad in itself, that they had to find the Word of God. And they found the Word of God. And Josiah said, well, read it to me. Let's see what it has to say. And Josiah was convicted. And he rent his clothes in some of those verses that we skipped for time. And he was humbled before God. He showed concern for obedience. He wept over sin. You can catch people today, with chocolate frosting all over their face, and say, who got into the chocolate frosting? Wasn't me. You know, it wasn't me. And everybody can see it except the person that has it on their face. It wasn't me. Our hearts are not tender before God, as they should be. Josiah's heart was. Because thine heart was tender. Look at verse 20. Behold, therefore, I will gather unto thee, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So you understand here that Josiah was greatly blessed of God. Josiah greatly followed God. And the common denominator and the root of it is, as far as I can tell and understand, it was because his heart was tender before God. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. One of the elements of that, I believe, must be keeping your heart tender before God. Compare this to David. In David's earlier life, as a younger man, we read of how that Saul chase David around. We read how that even Saul was confirmed king of Israel in 1 Samuel 11. We see how that the Lord was not pleased with him in 1 Samuel 13. We see that in 1 Samuel 15, Saul was disobedient unto the Lord. We see that in 1 Samuel 17, David takes care of Goliath and gets Saul's attention in a big way. And then we see Saul trying to kill David. David, in chapter 18 and 19, fleeing for his life. David running. In 1 Samuel 24, I want to show you something that David did and remind you of it. No doubt you've seen it. 1 Samuel 24, keeping in mind the context that I quickly tried to run through, how that Saul was not a man that pleased God and was not a godly man, how that Saul was chasing and even trying to kill David. And in 1 Samuel 24, I want you to read with me verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men. Look at that. I mean, that's 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose, cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. As I understand it, David just cutting off a piece of maybe what we would maybe say the hem of his garment. Just enough, as I understand it, maybe I'm wrong, but just enough so that Saul would know he was there. Just enough, you see, to explain to Saul, look, I don't want a battle with you. I don't want any battle with you. And to prove it, he did this. But I want you to notice the next verse. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. This is the one who is trying to kill David. And he still said that the Bible says that David's heart smote him, and he said unto the men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing that he is anointed of the Lord. Note how tender David's heart was. Note in this that David's heart was so tender before God, and one of the indications that his heart was tender before God, he confessed before men his wrong. We find very few today confessing before men their wrong. We do anything we can possibly do to get out of saying, I'm wrong. You know, I can't even say the word. I'm wrong. Because he had a tender heart. His heart smote him. Everybody standing around is saying, David, you can do to him anything you want. Everybody standing around is scratching their helmets and saying, David, good grief, what's wrong with you? All you did was show him that you're here. David said, I was wrong. His heart was tender before God. And he confessed it before men. Look at Isaiah 66. Look at Isaiah 66 with me. I want you to notice with me the first two verses. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all these things, all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's who I'm going to look upon. And of course, you understand this looking upon is that of a thought of a blessing upon him. His face to shine upon him. The Lord sees everything. It's not just some generic knowledge of this person, but this one who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembleth at the word of God, I'm going to look upon him with favor and with blessing because his heart is tender before God. But you notice what it is, and trembleth at my word. We've got to get into the word enough to know what it says enough to tremble at it at all. Well, it is so easy to stick our head in the sand and say, phooey on it, I don't care what that loudmouth preacher says. I don't care what those people that he brings into this church pulpit says. I don't have to listen. I don't have to do it. And I'm not gonna. God will not bless your life. Oh, you may be rich as Bill Gates. That doesn't mean God has blessed your life. You may have the fattest job on Broadway. I can't even think of the street. You may have the best job in town. That doesn't mean God has blessed your life. But the Bible does say that God in some special way would look upon a man or a woman that is of a poor and contrite spirit and it trembleth at my word. Now remember Josiah. His heart was tender before God. God blessed him. David, in his earlier life, his heart was tender before God. His heart smote him that he even cut the hem off Saul's garment. Smote him so much he confessed it. Probably got laughed at. David, you've got to be kidding me. But he had a tender heart. Look at Proverbs 28:14 with me. Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 14. This is basic stuff. Nothing deep. But we don't listen to it. Don't follow it. Proverbs 28:14. The Bible states this. Happy is the man that feareth alway. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. You want to fall into mischief? Do you want your life to be bumpy and rough? I want to illustrate. This starts at basic levels. We've heard today four tremendous messages. The first message, Brother Randy Titus, going, growing, and glowing, and he said this. He gave me this thought. If I'm not going as I should, my heart should be broken. And I'm not going like I should. And if you're not going like you should, your heart should be broken. Because it's basic stuff, but we don't listen to it. We don't want to follow it. And if you start there and will not follow the basic stuff, how are you going to go any farther? How are you going to follow in anything any deeper? And then Brother Gormley preaches about God's power and God's sovereignty. And seeing what's not necessarily evident on the cross. And yet, not proclaiming the true gospel? not following after the truth of God's word ought to break our hearts. Right. Oh, but that way doesn't seem to work as well as some of these other gimmicks, so we'll follow that. No! Follow the truth or be heartbroken over it. Follow it. Brother Keener, do you see God in absolutely everything? If you don't, your heart ought to be broken. Because He's in absolutely everything. Don't fear God as we should. And none of us do. And our hearts ought to be broken over that. But most of our hearts aren't. Simple, basic stuff, but we don't listen. And then, Brother Ellis, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, just old friends, you know, on parallel tracks. And I'm responsible before that sovereign God. Does that make your heart shake? It ought to.
Right.
Keep your heart soft before God. When the man of God that you sit under preaches, go to that place saying, what can I get out of this message today? What can I apply to my life? Oh, that my heart would be tender before God and live what I see in the Word of God. Sometimes I won't even see it for myself, but the preacher has preached it. Maybe I ought to just follow it anyway. You know? Well, now let's do the flip side here. Let's look at 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. We have seen Josiah and how that he was blessed of God because of a tender heart. The Bible strictly, specifically says so. We have seen David, how that David in his tender-hearted days did something what everybody would seem as very insignificant, very minor, and his heart smote him. But now David in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. By the way, where David should have been. When the time that kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. You know what? I would to God, I wish for David's sake, that verse 2 said that David's heart smote him. That he would have been convicted of not being where he was supposed to be, and he would have said, I'm going to change that. I'm going to go the next time, because that's where I'm supposed to be. Would to God that at that point, David's heart would have gotten a hold of him, as he is now not where he's supposed to be, and now he's in a position to see something he's not supposed to see. Would to God that his heart would have smote him right then. And he would have gotten off of that roof and he would have confessed it before God and that would have been the end of that. But verse 3 doesn't say that. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, wife of Uriah the Hittite? Would to God that even if he's not where he's supposed to be, even with the fact that he'd ogled Bathsheba and he still wasn't of a tender heart enough to confess it, would to God that the revelation that came to him was that she's a married woman and she's married to a very devout soldier in your army, would to God that that would have said in the very next verse, oh, his heart smote him. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Verse 3. Yes, verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her. Oh, would to God that when she got into his presence, you see, then he begins to realize what he's doing. And his heart would smote him and he would say, I can't do this. But the Bible goes on to say that he took her and she came unto him and he lay with her. Would to God that when he had satisfied his sexual perversion upon this situation, that he would have come to his senses and said, that's wrong, I've got to stop. But he didn't. His heart was not tender before God, and it's getting harder. If your heart is not tender before God, the first time you say, no, I won't, the second time's easier. And the third time's easier. And the fourth time's easier. David, now in verse 5, Bathsheba conceives. And she told David, I'm with child. Would to God that David's heart would have smote him at this point. I have committed adultery. I have fathered a child. Oh, oh God, what have I done? Would to God that verse 6 said, and David's heart smote him. Verse 6, David sent unto Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah unto David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said unto Uriah, go down to my house, to thy house, and wash the feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, and he went not down to his own house. Would to God that David, in witnessing the loyalty of Uriah, that his heart would have been broken. Would to God that as he's thinking about what he has done with Bathsheba and he sees the loyalty of Uriah, he says, oh me, what have I done? And that verse 10 would say, and his heart was smote within him. But it doesn't say that. And Uriah sent David. Let's see, verse 10. When they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down to his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then dost thou not go down to the house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Would to God that this would have gotten a hold of David. You understand where I'm going? And David then, as we know, called him in verse 13 here. Called him, and he did eat and drink before him and made him drunk. And at even he went out and lie in his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his own house. David couldn't even get Uriah drunk enough to forget his loyalty to David and to Israel, to go and be with his wife. Drunk, Uriah had more dedication to David than David had to the Lord. You understand that? Would to God that David would have been pricked in his heart, and his heart would have been smote within him, and that would have ended it, but it doesn't. It doesn't, you see, and you know the story, how that David plotted to have Uriah killed. And he has Uriah killed. And still yet, the Bible does not record that David said, oh my, I have committed adultery, I have fathered a child, I have plotted and schemed and killed her husband, moved her into my place. But the Bible doesn't say that broke his heart. Not yet. Nathaniel had to come along. Or I'm sorry, Nathan had to come along in chapter 12. Nathan has to tell David a story about a man who has everything, and a neighbor who has very little, and the man who has everything takes something from the neighbor that has very little. And David is all filled up with righteous indignation against the man. Who is it? Let me know it. Let me know who it is. I'm sure Nathan said, "Thou art the man." You know, I'm not thinking Nathan was jumping up and down, ready to get his own head cut off. David, it's you. Oh, would to God that it wouldn't have taken a direct revelation from God and Nathan to hit David over the head with the truth of what he had done, but that his heart would have been tender before God. And he would have, at the onset of the first glance of Bathsheba. And you realize, and you must realize, that this was not just an accidental glance and it stayed there. He glanced, and he looked, and he schemed, and he pondered and figured and planned and got her into his bed. Would to God that we wouldn't have had to have all of chapter 11 before we get to where David in chapter 12 finally in verse 13 confesses his sin. And David's life from there on is tainted from this act of indulgence. David's life from there on is tainted because of what it started out to be. Just a gratification of the flesh. David's life from there on is tainted because his heart was not tender before God. He knew better. He knew that adultery was wrong. He knew that murder was wrong. He knew, and he didn't care at that time. How do we keep our heart tender before God? Proverbs 29:1. I want you to notice this. This is not so much of a how, but this is a why, and then we will get to a how. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I have no doubt that David had really, of his own conscience, been somewhat reproved of what he'd done. From the first glance to the strategizing and the dragging, the calling of Bathsheba and getting her into his bed, to the killing of her husband, to the fathering of that child. I have no doubt that David, at some point in the quietness of his own private time, knew in his heart, this is wrong. I don't care, though. You know? This is wrong, but, I mean, have you seen Bathsheba? She's hot. And I don't care how wrong it is, I'm going to have her. His heart was not tender before God. And I believe that he knew enough of the Word of God that he was being reproved in his own heart, but he wasn't listening. And he was being reproved, and he got harder and harder, and his neck became harder and stiffer, and he shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And David's life never got back the way it was when he was a young man and his heart was tender before God. There was no remedy for the sin that David committed. Yes, there is forgiveness. Yes, we can move on. Yes, we can be used of God. But there are impacts of our actions that cannot be remedied. There are impacts of what David did that he lived with the rest of his life, and that without remedy. And it started because his heart was not as soft as it should have been. Psalms 51. Psalms 51. We'll wrap it up. Well, you know the story of Psalm 51. David is confessing his sin. Back in Psalm 38, David said, "There was no soundness in my bones while I held this in." His heart was being convicted and he wouldn't listen. Back in Psalm 32, he kept silence and his bones waxed old. He was paying the price spiritually. He knew it. But it wasn't until Nathan stuck his finger in his face and said, "It's you, David. It's you." Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." Look at verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." David had been brought back to a place where his heart was now soft again. But the damage had been done. And that, most of it, physically speaking, without remedy. There was no repair. You can take nails out of a board, and if the nails represent sin and the board represents a body, the nails can be removed, but the scars are still there. And David bore the scars. Even after the sin was removed, his heart was now broken again. And he recognized that God didn't want sacrifices. God wanted a broken heart. He recognized that God didn't want a lot to do this and do that. He wanted David's heart broken and humble before him. Because when your heart is broken and humble before him, all God has to say is, "Get up." And you get up. And all God has to say is, "Go out into the highways and byways." And we go out. And all God has to say is, "Brother, go to Thailand." And you go to Thailand. Or whatever it is. Wherever it is, whatever it is. It starts with a tender heart. Keep your heart soft before God. The very first time you find yourself hearing the Word of God preached or reading it for yourself and saying, I'm not going to do that. I pray to God that He gets a hold of your heart, and you pray to God that He gets a hold of my heart right then, before it goes on and makes a mess of our lives. And a lot of that without remedy. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. May God help us to keep this principle in our hearts, in our minds, and live it in our lives. Just keep. Guard your heart. Keep it tender before God. Brother Bennett.